We're now back at Radio Entrepreneurs at Tarlo Breed, Hart & Rogers, and our show is For the Record. And I'm with Mark Furman, my co-host, as well as a terrific sponsor of the show. Mark, thank you very much for having me today and having us tape the show today.
Happy to be here with you, Mark. Looking forward to hearing from our next guest.
Absolutely. Keeping within the best and the brightest lawyers from all over New England, we have Vincent Pisegna of Krikitas & Bluestein.
Vincent, you pronounced it very well, Mark.
Thank you very much, Vincent. And Vincent is a senior partner there who also runs its litigation practice. Thank you so much for coming on today.
It's nice to be here. You'll have to excuse me a bit. I'm a little bit under the weather today, but I believe I can soldier on.
Excellent. Excellent. So, Vincent, you're a specialty breed of litigator because you do business litigation and real estate litigation, and we're seeing less and less of that in our community. Becomes more and more specialized. Can you tell us a little bit more about your practice?
Sure. I've been practicing for approximately 40 years. I have practiced in the fields of business litigation and real estate litigation and what they call general litigation for those 40 years. The head of our litigation practice at Krikitas & Bluestein, we're a mid-sized firm located in the Federal Reserve Bank building. I've been active in bar events and organizations. I was recently appointed by the Supreme Judicial Court to be the chair of the Massachusetts Board of Bar Overseers.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Which regulates and disciplines the over 60,000 licensed attorneys in Massachusetts. And I found that very interesting.
Excellent. Well, I will tell you, the business owners that are listening to this show obviously will feel very good about it to have a very ethical attorney who is regulating the profession. One of the things that I think is important, and you and I have talked about it over the years, is yes, you're a big litigator, they can go into court and aggressively represent your clients, but one of the things you're telling me is more and more you become a counselor to these businesses, and you're sort of like advising them because there's so many pitfalls and so many holes that they've got to navigate. Can you tell us a little bit more about?
Certainly. When you do business litigation for closely held corporations, which I do, that means there are a small number of owners owning stock that isn't traded on any stock exchange. And real estate litigation, people feel very strongly about their cases. In fact, one of the things a business owner has to consider before filing a case, of course, if you get sued, you have no choice, but before you file a case, you have to consider the amount of time and energy it will take to prosecute the case, because it's not just the cost. It takes time and energy for a business owner to get involved in the case. And as I say, there's a reason there's so many attorney shows on television. They're interesting.
Right.
The dispute resolution process is interesting. It's inherently interesting. So there's a lot of heat that gets involved in the cases that I do, and I like it that way. That's the reason I chose litigation. I'm a bit of a old jock, and I like winning, and I like competing, and it comes with the territory.
One of the areas that are becoming more and more prevalent are arbitration and mediation. Are you involved in that process, too, in your practice?
Certainly. There's no civil litigator who isn't involved in mediation because in almost every case now, the courts will compel the parties to engage in litigation. And as an attorney, you'd be foolish to not consider litigation as an avenue for your client resolving their dispute. So, yes, I'm involved heavily in mediation. I've done a ton of it. It's actually a preferred way to resolve a dispute. However, you don't get a successful result in mediation unless you're prepared to litigate, unless you're prepared to try the case. Mark can testify to that, certainly. And I've done over 100 cases over my 40 years. And I can go to the mats, I can try a case, and that gives me the leverage, if you will, when we're at the table engaged in mediation, that if it doesn't work out, they know that we can take it to the mat.
Excellent. I remember when years ago, when I was an associate, I would sit in the partner's office and he would give me the advice as, Mark, when you're representing a client and you're negotiating, it's important that the other side know that although you want to resolve this, you're always prepared to go to court because a lot of attorneys don't like to go to court or don't feel that that's where they're comfortable. And to have somebody like you who's ready to go to the mat for clients but is a counselor and also can do mediation and arbitration, that's key.
Yeah, I often talk about the what I add, the value that I add to a dispute that's being that needs to be resolved, is I use my advanced litigation skills to create what I call a window of opportunity to settle a case, whether it be asking for a pointed set of documents that are sensitive, whether it be taking a tough deposition, whether it be filing a difficult motion that they have to respond to. It puts you in a position of strength, and you can even settle a case before mediation if you can do it right. And I've had some good luck with that over the years. I had a case once where I was able to disqualify the attorney for the other side because he had a conflict of interest, and the case settled very shortly thereafter. So things like that, they're techniques that you can use that can get add value to the dispute resolution context. Because after all, nobody wants to pay or engage in litigation for 2 years and then take it all the way through trial. No one wants to do that. What they want to do is have their problem solved and move on and make money with the rest of their business.
Exactly right. One of the things that's always interested me is the timing of trying to resolve cases. You know, when is the case ripe for resolution? Because it takes more than one party to be ready to try to resolve the case.
Yeah, that is so true. I was at a conference recently on mediation, and one of the questions that the mediation panel asked was, what do you think about early mediation? And I used to think it was a good idea because then you knew what you were fighting about if you didn't settle the case. But now I think it's a bad idea because what happens is you go into the mediation blind, and what you usually do is share the areas of disagreement more than you can stake out the areas that are not disputed or disputable so that you can narrow the dispute down to something where the two lawyers can handicap the respective cases for their clients and then come to the table with a realistic set of possible resolutions. It's not that I never do it. I do it, engage in it, but it's a process that's really fraught with difficulty. I think you really need to understand what the case is about before you can effectively mediate or settle a case.
Yeah, I think it also it depends who your adversary is too, and how well you know them, and how much you trust them. Because I get a sense of when my clients are ready to talk, but I'm frequently dependent on the lawyer on the other side to whether the other side's ready to talk.
There's no question about that. You know, where it's a people business. It's very much a people business. For example, when you get a lawyer from out of town who's here litigating a case, it's a very different experience.
Right.
And then we lawyers speak in code to each other. For example, when you're settling a case, when you say last and final, we all know what that means. That's you've hit the end of the road as far as that round of discussions. So you're very right. It really depends on who's on the other side. And I find as I've gained more and more experience, I can usually figure out who the person on the other side is one way or another, as I'm sure you do as well. You may not know that lawyer per se, but you'll know someone in that person's law firm.
Sure.
Makes a big difference.
And, you know, who the mediator is also an important part of the process because there are those who are better closing than others, right?
Very true. Very true. There's a legion of mediators out there now. It's really a cottage industry in Massachusetts as well as it is throughout the country.
Sure.
And just as there are lawyers who add value, there are mediators who add value and those who don't. The former judges have a lot to add, but oftentimes they're not skilled in the techniques that are necessary to get the parties to settle a case. Sometimes they're very skilled, and being a former judge, they speak with a certain amount of authority. But you're right, there's a whole range of skill level on the mediation community.
It requires rewiring your brain from decider to mediator.
Yeah, it really does. It really does.
Well, Vincent, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. If anybody listening needs a really sharp business litigator in or real estate litigator, how could they reach you?
They can Google me, Vincent Pisegna. Just Google me, and you'll pick up my my website. My blog is on the my website as well, my firm's website, Vincent Pisegna, P-I-S-E-G-N-A. Or you can call me, 617-482-7211.
Wow, you got a blog too. I'll have to read it. We've had Vincent Pisegna, senior partner at Kirkitas & Bluestein. Vincent, thank you again for being here. I'm here with my co-host, Mark Furman. Mark, thank you so much for being here, and thank you for sponsoring the show on For the Record.
My pleasure.
And we are radio entrepreneurs, and we'll be right back.